Tip Science, presented by Science at NASA. Using space technology, NASA-funded researchers are developing artificial bones for pain-free hip implants. October 30, 2002. 79-year-old Bob Hayes has heard all the statistics. There are more than 300,000 hip and knee replacement surgeries performed each year in the United States. 65% of hip replacements and 72% of knee replacements are received by people over the age of 65. Because the U.S. population is aging, the number of hip fractures is expected to exceed 500,000 annually by the year 2040. The average hospital stay for a knee or hip replacement? 5 days, followed by 4 weeks using a walker. Bob, a retired veterinarian from Golden, Colorado, knows the statistics because he's one of them. Between 1978 and 1999, Bob had 2 hip replacements and 5 revisions. I kept 3 or 4 of them as mementos, he laughs. I've been thinking of using them as bookends. Bob's sense of humor is still intact, but the pain is no laughing matter. You go until you can't stand it anymore, he says, and then you have surgery again, and again, and again. The problem that faces medicine today is that current implants last only about 10 years, explains Dr. Frank Schoengert, a friend of Bob's and the director of the Center for Commercial Applications of Combustion in Space, CCACS for short, at the Colorado School of Mines. Surgeons cut out the old joint and glue in a new one, continues Schoengert. Time along with wear and tear caused the glue to deteriorate. Bob recalls his own experience. The glue would loosen and the joint would pinch a nerve. The pain was intense. Putting an end to that kind of suffering is what motivates Schoengert and colleague Dr. John Moore. They're working at CCACS to make better artificial bones from ceramics, implants so much like the real thing that they could actually meld with living bone. Such implants wouldn't come loose and need to be replaced so often. Most artificial bones nowadays are made from hydroxyapatite, which has the same chemical formula as bone itself. Synthetic hydroxyapatite, however, is neither as porous as real bone nor as strong. Pores are important, says Schoengert. They are conduits for blood flow. Blood is generated in bone marrow. And they allow bones to be strong without being too heavy. Pores also provide a way for living bone to attach itself permanently to an implant. If we get good bone growth into the pores of an implant, then we've won, says Schoengert. It won't matter if the glue comes loose 10 years later. Researchers have also tried sea coral as a bone substitute. It's porous enough, says Schoengert, but it lacks strength. Sea coral is mostly used for cranial restructuring. The solution, according to Schoengert, is ceramics. He and Moore believe it's possible to synthesize ceramic materials with the right combination of strength and interconnected pores to mimic real bone. Indeed, they've developed a process in their Colorado laboratory that looks promising. Making ceramic bone isn't like making a ceramic coffee cup, says Schoengert. The process is completely different. Ordinary ceramics are made from powders mixed together with a binding agent. They're baked in an oven about 1,000 degrees Celsius, which evaporates the binder and leaves behind a grainy matrix stronger than the original powders. The chemical formula remains unchanged. Unlike coffee cup makers, however, we fire our ceramics at a much higher temperature so that the powders react to form new substances. For example, one of the most promising ceramics starts as a powdery mixture of calcium and phosphate compounds. Schoengert and Moore ignite the mixture, which burns at 2600 degrees Celsius. Calcium oxide and P2O5 react to produce tricalcium phosphate, a substance remarkably similar chemically to real bone. The reaction also yields heat and gaseous byproducts that naturally form bubbly pores. It's a good start, says Schoengert, but there's more to do. For one thing, real bones are porous or weak on the inside and solid or strong on the outside. What we've made is like the weak interior of a bone. It doesn't yet have a strong outer layer. We need to learn to control our process to mimic the stratification of actual bones. Their technique, called self-propagating high-temperature synthesis, or SHS, is indeed hard to control. During the firing process, he says, the ceramic is molten. Gases rise and liquids sink. There's a lot of convective motion that makes the reaction unpredictable, says Schoengert. To understand this process, we really need to do our experiments in a weightless environment where the gravity-driven convection is minimized. SeaCAC's researchers have flown furnaces on board NASA's KC-135 Vomit Comet, a parabolic flight aircraft that provides brief periods of weightlessness. They observed dramatic differences between ceramics prepared in normal gravity and those prepared in flight. For instance, the low-gravity ceramics had larger and better connected pores. What happened? No one is sure, because those brief periods of weightlessness didn't allow enough time for probing and tinkering. That's why Schoengert and Moore are looking forward to March 2003, when a new materials processing facility named Space Drums, a device that holds floating molten ceramics motionless using sound waves, is slated to be installed on the International Space Station. By remote control from Earth and with the aid of astronauts, they'll be able to conduct their tests in low gravity for much longer times than ever before. "We don't intend to mass-produce ceramic bones on the ISS," notes Schoengert. "That would be way too expensive. But if we can learn more about the role of gravity in pore formation, we might be able to duplicate our successes in space back here on Earth. Millions of people will benefit from fewer surgeries and less pain if this research produces marketable ceramic bone replacements. But there could be a problem. What to do with all those obsolete implants?" Bob Hayes has the answer. They make great bookends. This story was written by Steve Price and Tony Phillips and read by Tony Phillips. It's presented by Science at NASA. To find more Science at NASA stories on the Internet, please visit science.nasa.gov.